You're listening to Sportsnet Today on the official home of your Calgary Flames. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, hour two underway in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Logan Gordon along with you on this Monday, April 1st. Wet basement. Doug Lacey's Basement Systems is a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com alongside the production duo of Shan and Cam. Fan feedback line open to you at 960-960. Hour one is in the books. Lots of Calgary Flames talk following a 4-2 win over the LA Kings, including checking in with our pal Harna Ryan Singh from Hockey Night in Canada and hearing from Connor Zeri on a practice day for the Flames as they get set for the Ducks on Tuesday. If you missed any of it, check us out on the podcast, why don't you? Hour one available wherever you get your podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. Kicking off hour two with more hockey chatter. Very happy to go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Welcoming our pal from Sportsnet, Sam Constantino, joins us on this Monday afternoon. Sammy, thanks for the time as always, sir. How are you doing?
My pleasure. Doing well, thanks. Doing well.
Good to hear, my man. Fun time of year right now, hey? Playoffs are getting set. We're getting an idea of who's heading to the dance in the NHL, but all three major junior leagues are into the playoffs. We've got Frozen Four action in the NCAA, and then I believe, what, U18 start at the end of April in Finland, if I'm not wrong, right?
Yeah, you got it. So plenty of action. It's really cool, too, and, you know, keeping an eye on the series as best you can. But also, like, you know, just trying to figure out whatever kind of machinations are left for the NHL playoffs. I mean, I think the East, there's still a couple things to be decided. Philadelphia's dropped like a rock. That's kind of the extent there. Be interesting to see what happens here with Vegas and where Edmonton can wind up. You know, if they can get past Vancouver and take top spot, would be kind of cool.
I wanted to ask you about LA in the West. We saw them here on Saturday, and I got to be honest with you, Sammy, I wasn't overly impressed with what I saw from the Kings. And I know this is a team that's run into Edmonton the last two seasons. That's a tough out in the playoffs, but I just kind of wonder where you see them fitting in the whole Western Conference playoff picture, especially now as it's a little bit more clear with St. Louis taking a step back.
Yeah, they're a fascinating group, aren't they? I mean, you look at the start of the year, and who would have ever thought with the start they had that Todd McLellan would get let go and that Jim Hillier would hire DJ Smith, formerly of the Ottawa Senators, to come along for the rest of the ride and then did well off the bump, then went for a dip. Like, they've had a crazy, crazy year. You know, a lot of the talk at the start of the year was about how Cam Talbot would be able to fit in there based on their system of play and how he was a perfect match for their group, and everything looked to be the case. So I guess when I'm looking at the LA Kings, I'm thinking about, yeah, I like their D, I like their experience, I like their veteran players. You know, I think there's a lot to be said about getting a little bit of a different voice with DJ and Jimmy in there. But also, you know, is it going to be enough to sustain when you talk about the goaltending piece? So I think it was a little bit of a desperation move here by Rob Blake. If you go back and look at some of the moves, you know, the Pierre-Luc Dubois debate will forever live, I believe, as to what you think about him. When he's on his good days, there's not many better power forwards in the game. And when he's on his off days, he doesn't really impact the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's interesting to see how that's come together. But seemingly they have all the pieces there. When you look down the middle of the ice, that seems to work. They eat pretty good. And then the goaltending, if it holds up, I suppose that's a little bit of a question mark.
And what about the Nashville Predators here, Sammy? I know they've lost two in a row, but they went on that incredible point streak. We go back to the canceled U2 concert at the Sphere in Vegas, and everyone sort of loving the momentum of a team like Nashville. How do you look at Nashville? Do you look at Nashville as a team that could be a playoff contender and finally figure things out late in the season? Or do you see them more as a team that made a really impressive push at the end of the year to put themselves into a playoff spot?
It looks like a team that the sum is greater than the parts. And it's been fascinating for me to watch Barry Trotz. I mean, he comes in as a guy who won a Stanley Cup based on a reputation wherever he's been as being a defensive guy. And the first thing he said is, hey, we want to change how we draft players. We want to get more exciting, more fun to watch. We want to get on the offensive here a little bit. And Andrew Burnett's a perfect guy to do that. And then you watch their group and you thought, okay, around trade deadline, they're going to start selling off some of their veteran pieces. And that, you know, was right around the time when this whole U2 thing started to happen. And now you got guys like O'Reilly there. Forsberg's been there a long time. Their goaltending's been good. And now it's like, you know what? These guys are actually decent. It's not a team I want to face in round number one. And I can remember having them on a Wednesday night a couple of weeks back. And after the game, they were playing Winnipeg and beat Winnipeg pretty good. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is a pretty good team. Like, they have a lot of things going on. And this Roman Josi, if, you know, a lot of people have heard the name and they see the point totals, but you got to watch him play. He is fantastic. He really, really is, and should get, you know, should generate some Norris conversation for sure. So I look at Nashville now and I say, this is a team that I do not want to face in round number one. They come at you in waves. They've got just enough scoring, I believe, defensively. I like them. So they're a lot more fun team to watch than the former iteration of this group.
And then here in Calgary, we're keeping a special eye on the Vegas Golden Knights because of a draft pick condition in the Noah Hanifin trade. But today, Tomas Hertl takes his first spin with the team. He's in a red no-contact jersey, so he's still making his way back, Sammy. That'll be a big add for them. But I'm curious if chemistry comes into play here. So many new faces in Vegas being integrated later on here. And, you know, Tomas Hertl is going to be a guy that they depend on big time, especially if Mark Stone isn't healthy. Where do you view Vegas now that they've kind of settled back into a playoff spot and it looks like they're definitely going to be one of the eight teams in the West when it's all said and done?
I think the chemistry piece is mitigated there a little bit. I mean, you got a guy in Bruce Cassidy who's very strict to his systems, protect the middle of the house. So regardless of personnel, they're all required to do that.
Yeah.
And then I look at culture. You know, I think about a Jonathan Marchessault there. I think of Petrangelo there. And so the integration of new players into that lineup isn't as difficult as it may be in other places. And then the third thing I'll say to that is people go there and I think they get a new lease on life. You know, I've talked to some people who worked for the organization previously. The quality of life, living where the practice facility is in Summerlin, and then just kind of trucking downtown for the games is really a desirable thing. And so now I think people don't just come in there and think, oh, I'm here as a rental and that's going to be it. I do think that some of those players that walk in there are like, hey, this is pretty good for the family. And you know what? This lifestyle might suit me beyond the acquisition that was just made. So, you know, chemistry to me is not as much of a concern with the Vegas Golden Knights as it would be anywhere else. Now, having said all that, they too have a lot of the pieces, but they need to find their health. And that seemingly hasn't been a problem when the playoffs start in the past, and I'm not so sure it's going to be a problem when the playoffs start this time.
Sam, before I ask you about a couple teams in the East, are we talking about the Dallas Stars enough right now as the team that's second in the NHL in the standings right now?
We are not talking about the Dallas Stars. And you got a coach who's been to the dance several occasions and Pete DeBoer, who's extremely hungry to get over that hump and take it to the next level. And I think this may be the team that will give them the opportunity to do that. You know, strengthening up the back end, I think, was really helpful there. You love their kind of grumpy old forwards when it comes to Ben. And, you know, Sagan's found a spot. Duchesne has found new life over there. Then Robertson, who didn't get off to a great start, has played a little better lately. I guess, you know, the one thing that you'd be concerned about are the numbers of Jake Oettinger all season long. Sure. And I think if people felt confident about the Jake Oettinger of years past with this year's group, then I think we'd probably be generating a lot more conversation about the Dallas Stars. So that seems to be the one thing that's, you know, that's holding them back right now, or that people are doubting for them to think about raising the cup.
How impressive has it been from a guy that spent a lot of years focused in on prospects and younger players to see what Dallas has done bringing up those next waves of draft talent, Sammy? And most recently, of course, people raving about Logan Stankoven and his introduction to the NHL.
you know, Joe McDaniel has done an unbelievable job there. He came over with Jim Nill. They were both with the Detroit Red Wings organization. And Joe never gets nearly enough credit as one of the top names you hear about when it comes to scouting. But all he does is produce really good players. I mean, I think about the Wyatt Johnston pick and literally was selected in the first round by Dallas after about seven viewings in his draft year. Now, he did have a great 16-year-old year, especially a second half. So there was a book that you could draw on him from then. But that's 2 years out. And then he goes into his draft year, and the OHL doesn't play. He makes Canada's World Under-18 team, that really good team in 2021, and was an integral part of their group, not so much for his point production, but for his two-way play and for his ability to play in a shutdown role. So when you get drafted after seven games and you have the kind of success he's had and being able to back it up as an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, that's really, really impressive. I think about Thomas Harley and how they cooked him in the American Hockey League and how successful he's been with his goal scoring, his skating, and his size. So, you look at Robertson, you look at Logan Stankoven coming in there, and obviously the connection with Tom Gilardi, the owner of the Kamloops Blazers, who also owns the Dallas Stars. They've had a long time connection in the past. So, I'm really, really impressed with their group. And you have to be able to home grow some of your own talent. And they do it as good as anybody.
They sure have. Really impressive group. Can't wait to see what they do in the playoffs. And, of course, Flames fans will be watching Chris Tanev on that blue line once the postseason kicks off. We're alongside Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet here on a Monday edition of Sportsnet Today, going over some of the biggest storylines in hockey right now. Sammy, the Leafs can clinch a playoff spot tonight. That's never really been in question. I think all the questions for this Leafs team begin in round one, whether it's Florida or Boston, and can they, usurp one of the two teams that have given them problems over the years? It's kind of a tough spot to be in because you don't ever want to discredit making the playoffs. And even in Calgary, we know it can be a difficult process to get there year after year, but it kind of feels like for the Maple Leafs, it's hard to give too much credit until the postseason comes around. How do you feel about that group?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, that's going to be judged on what happens. And if it's another round one exit, then of course all of the same issues that crept up in the Kyle Dubas era will now start to haunt the former general manager of the Flames and Bradtree Living. Despite going out and in the offseason, adding Reeves and adding Domi and getting Bertuzzi, guys who all seem to be very well appointed for the playoffs, or at least add some grit. So we're going to see how that goes. But the fascinating part is, don't sleep on Tampa Bay. They got a 9-game point streak going. They could just as easily sneak up and take that third spot. That would make things really interesting. To be perfectly honest with you, if there was a way that Toronto could match up against the Rangers or Carolina in round one, depending on who wins the Metropolitan, that, I think, is a better matchup than would be Florida or Boston. And so, Mitch Marner's still out here for a bit. It'll be fascinating to see how that shakes out. But at some point, either A, you have to exercise the demons of what happened with Florida last year or Boston in years previous, or you maybe get a new taste of life and go in as a wild card and take your luck against the Rangers if things work out. Otherwise, it's going to be Boston or Florida at the top anyway. So fascinating stuff there for Toronto for sure.
Yeah, you make a good point. I wonder if it wouldn't be more favorable for Leafs fans to run through the Metro teams than the teams in the Atlantic. You just know that history always sits in the back of their mind, and maybe a different path is better. But the Metro is still with things to figure out in the bottom half there, Sammy. Washington's been on this great run of late. We saw them in Calgary a couple weeks ago. You mentioned Philly at the beginning. They've fallen off as a lot of people expected, but still in the race with under 10 games to go. And then there's Detroit a couple points back of both of them. If you were to pick who comes out of this race, out of those three teams right now, who's your money on?
So here's the thing for me. If Washington gets in, let alone in the third spot, Spencer Carberry should generate serious consideration for Coach of the Year.
Yes, sir.
I watched that Washington Capitals team at the start of the year, and I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a long year. I don't know what they have in goal. They look slow. Backstrom's gone. Carlson was hurt. Ovi wasn't scoring. And somehow Spencer Carberry has found a way to keep this thing on the rails. So he should, if they get in, get consideration for the Jack Adams. And if they get in the third spot, even more consideration. So what a job he's done there. You know, when I look at the Philly, the Islanders, the Detroits of the world, you can't help but think that Steve Yzerman tried to push this Detroit group a little further forward faster than I think he wanted to. But, you know, just looking at their group, I'd be hard-pressed to say that they wouldn't be the team that emerges as the last spot in the East. And again, probably not a team with Showtime there that you'd want to face in round one. The goaltending, obviously, a little bit questionable there. Although Alex Lyon has had, you know, some success here over the course of this year. Of course, what he did with Florida down the stretch last year. So they're going to be a neat group to watch if they get in. But maybe even more fascinating what happens with Steve Yzerman and his group moving forward if they don't get in.
You mentioned Carberry and the Jack Adams there. We got quite the race for another award all of a sudden. Nathan MacKinnon leads the league as we speak on Monday, Sammy, with 127 points. There's Nikita Kucherov at 126. And oh, surprise, surprise, Connor McDavid has turned it on, and he's at 125 points. Who comes out of that race on top of things when it's all said and done in your mind?
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed the play of Kucherov, and I just think he's next level. His ability to take the game, especially inside the offensive blue line. So I still have my money on him right now. You know, he's going to play, get all the prime time power play minutes there for a really good power play team in Tampa. And 5-on-5, he still has the ability to sting you. So that's going to be a fun race to watch for sure. I think that'll probably go down to the final game. And you might have a team, and maybe two, that's going to be really interesting to see how they as a group want to play out the final couple games of the season, as opposed to allowing those players to chase their individual records. Like, you know, if you think about Edmonton, okay, there might be a chance for top spot in the Pacific. You think about Colorado, that's been a dogfight in the Central. They're going to want top spot there, mm-hmm. right? And then you think about Tampa, are they going to want to jump into that three hole and push to the very end? So I think it's going to be interesting to watch the balance of how those coaches handle the team goals, yet still being respectful of what those individuals have done this year.
Sammy, last one for you, because I think it's a really interesting conversation, and I love, you know, your knowledge of youngsters and how they come up to the NHL. Is it Bedard or Faber for the Calder Trophy right now?
Oh, man. I mean, part of it is staying and playing and being in every game, but the production piece can't be missed. And Bedard's had a wonderful year from that standpoint. I mean, so too has Faber at what is arguably a tougher position to come in as a younger player. So it's going to be a race, probably closer than people think, because I do think there's a lot of respect for that position. But you know how it works sometimes. You get those named guys, and they've got the momentum going into the year. They have it through the start of the year. They lose it with the injury, but then they gain it back. So that'll be a fun one to watch. I just think from namesake, Bedard probably wins out, but if Faber keeps it up here for the final 8 or 9 games that Minnesota has, you have to think that it's going to be a really good race to the end there.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. I mean, I've had a conversation with a couple of people about who wins it. And Sammy, I mean, you know, 25:02 average time on ice as we speak on Monday for Brock Faber. Like, you know as well as anybody, kids just don't jump into those kind of minutes on the back end very often.
He's really astute young man. We had him on the off season. He had the professor's glasses go on, but really calm and cerebral, a lot like his play on the ice. And, you know, Minnesota's, they've really needed his minutes. And I think that was one heck of a find there in the Fiala trade. You had to give up a player that you knew you weren't going to be able to pay. But the return you got, I mean, LA might be looking back at this one down the road and saying, maybe that's not the guy we should have let go, because, he's dynamite. He's the real deal for sure.
Sammy, on the desk for any hockey this week?
Yeah, Wednesday night, Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey, Toronto and Tampa. Get the Kucherov watch. You get the Atlantic Division playoff race. Really important, especially if Tampa wants to have any hopes of getting into that third spot in the Atlantic. So it'll be a lot of fun watching that for sure.
Looking forward to it, Sammy. Always appreciate the time. Thanks for carving out some more of it for us here in Calgary, pal. Take care.
Okay, Logan. Take care. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. Sam Cosentino joining us from Sportsnet. You can find his articles at sportsnet.ca or catch him on the desk on Wednesday Night Hockey coming up this week as the Sportsnet Television Network host joins us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. And Shan, do you have a pick for Calder right now? Because I love Connor Bedard. That dude's unbelievable. But I don't think he's going to win it. I hope Brock Faber makes it close. The guy's unbelievable. 41 points this year. And like I mentioned with Cause, he's averaging 25.02 of ice time in his first rookie season.
Yeah, he's because the absence of Jared Spurgeon, their captain and leader on the back end, we all thought, I know I said it, that they were going to be done. They wouldn't have a chance in this playoff race. And he is a large part as to why they're still in the playoff race. I think it should be Faber. That's what I would say right now. But my prediction, like Sammy said, I think it'll be Bedard because of the name value, because he is the number one pick and the star that he is, and not to downplay the season that he's having because he is having an amazing season, but at the same time, he's a dash 40. And I know it's on the Blackhawks team that isn't talented. I totally get that. I just think, you know, McDavid didn't get the Calder and
neither did Sidney Crosby.
So if Bedard is able to get the Calder, or maybe they even go the other way and say, hey, they didn't get it and you were injured for a large part of the season, so we have to give it to Faber. I'm curious to see how it goes. I think it's going to be Bedard because of his name.
You have to watch out. I think that's going to be one of the more intriguing awards when it's all said and done. The superstar forward versus the young rookie defenseman coming in and having a massive impact on Minnesota. We'll watch that as the rest of the NHL season rolls to a completion. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. We're going to change our perspective over to the Jays. They're getting set to kick off a series against the Houston Astros. They split their series with the Tampa Bay Rays. We'll see how John Schneider's feeling about his group following that series in Tampa Bay. We'll also take a look at the NHL schedule tonight. All of that when we close out Hour 2 next. Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Here's the offering to Siri. It's lined up the middle. Diving play at second by IKF to win the game. He goes full extension to bring it in, and the Blue Jays win 9-2 and get a series split here, Chris, in the first series of the season at the Trop.
Jays able to salvage a split with the Rays in their season opening series. Now on the road, getting set to take on the Houston Astros. First game goes later on this Monday. 6:10 first pitch from Houston. Bottom of the rotation for the Jays. Bowden Francis gets the start for the Jays. Not sure anybody knows what to think of the team yet after that back and forth roller coaster of a series against Tampa. But we'll see if they can figure things out against the Astros. Of all the coverage right here, Sportsnet 960, The Fan, will have the game for you tonight. And lots of Blue Jays coverage throughout the season. Let's check in with manager John Schneider. His post-game thoughts following that 9-2 win over Tampa Bay as his team now has their focus set on Houston.
John, vintage Kev, pretty up there pretty much.
Yeah, he was great. About as efficient and effective as we could have hoped for, really. Wish he kind of got Siri, get him through the fifth, but, you know, just trying to come in there. You know, I think it was 0-2, but I thought he was awesome, really.
John, as you kind of envision the build-up for him going forward, 69 pitches today, how does that set him up?
You know, you tack on a few more, obviously, but I think he's, you know, with the way he's feeling really good. I think his last pitch was 97. You know, 80, 85, something like that. You know, kind of see how he is in between, but should be pretty regular from here on out.
John, the build-up's one thing, but I mean, the stuff and how good he's looked, too. I mean, how impressed have you been with just how quickly he's been able to get going?
Yeah, I mean, veteran guy and kind of knows his body really well, but it is impressive to kind of have, you know, one start in spring and kind of not miss a beat. So that's why he's one of the best in the game.
It's kind of a Justin Turner game out there today. Kind of the offseason, or when you guys brought him in the offseason, that kind of what you're envisioning?
Yeah, you know, just at bats like that, you know, just, you know, sticking to an approach. You want him up with guys in scoring position. He's done that for his whole career. So really big day for him.
Does he already have an influence from amongst the other
guys? Yeah, you know, whether it's in meetings or, you know, during games, I think it's, you know, it's pretty deliberate what he's done over his career. And, you know, definitely rubs off on some other guys. You see Vladdy taking some walks and George taking some walks. Not that that's what we're looking for, but I think just kind of getting your pitch to hit and not budging.
Johnny's always hit with runners on. Is there something about his swing or approach that especially allows him to do that?
I mean, I think he keeps himself pretty level-headed in those moments. You know, I know he said that, whether it's runners in scoring position or postseason, whatever it may be. But it's just having an approach and sticking to it, you know. A lot of times in those spots, guys get a little bit too big or whatever. You know, you could see what he's trying to do every single time.
Do you have more details on Bo and his status?
Yeah, I mean, he's just neck spasms today. And I think, you know, game four, you don't want to push it and make it any worse. So he was getting treatment throughout the game. Obviously, we didn't need him today. So status is kind of day-to-day. We'll see how he is, you know, when we get into Houston.
Is there anything that triggered that, John?
No, I don't think so. I think it was just one of those deals where you wake up and it wasn't really feeling right. So
the offense was working this weekend. It was doing the things that you needed to do today, two runs in the first.
Yeah. Yeah, especially against a team that can pitch. You know, I know that the middle games weren't as great, but it is nice. You know, homers from JT, Schneid, but everyone kind of doing their part a little bit, whether it was working a walk or getting a big hit. So that's kind of what we're shooting for.
John, doing damage against lefties was an issue for you many times last year. I mean, with JT and with other guys you have now, how much more better equipped do you guys feel like you're?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it all comes down to an approach. You know what I mean? I say I'm using this word way too much, I know, but I think just really being convicted with it. You know, you get Schneid in there, JT obviously, and then Ernie. You know, just really, you know, contact oriented too. So yeah, I think it is a little bit better suited for those type of guys.
There's John Schneider, Sunday following his team's win over the Tampa Bay Rays. Next up, the Houston Astros winless this season are the Astros after an opening series against the Yankees. They'll turn to Ronel Blanco as their starter. Five different stints with the Astros last year in different appearances. He finished with a 2-1 record with a 4.50 ERA in the 2023 season. This is Bowden Francis's first ever start against the Houston Astros. Strong spring training for Francis. Five games, four of them starts, 3.38 ERA, and the Jays are looking for him to sort of solidify the back end of that rotation while they figure things out with Alek Manoah and others, Shan.
Can I give you some expert baseball analysis right now?
Please, absolutely.
Bowden Francis has that dog in him. He's got a hint of the dog.
You can
see it the way he carries himself. I like his game. I think he's got the right dog mentality. He's got the dog in him, within him, to become a starter on this team. So I'm excited to see him get the start today. And one other thing I have to say I love about baseball is that a pitcher and how well they're doing and their command and whatever, at the end of the day, it's just called stuff.
Yeah.
You go, he's got his stuff today. Like, well, what do you think about his stuff? Oh, his stuff looks good. I think that's my favorite sports term, period.
Your favorite sports terminology is his stuff?
Stuff.
He's got good stuff.
Yeah, like his stuff looks good today.
Bad stuff today.
Yeah, what do you think of your stuff? Oh, I think my stuff's not bad.
Could have been better.
Yeah. Jays were...
You know whose stuff wasn't good?
Tell
the
me.
Astros.
Yeah, I know.
Yankees.
Hey, we got to give credit to Virk. Adnan Virk called it. He said Astros not making the playoffs this year.
He's a man that knows his business.
Yeah, he knows a little.
They're outscored 21-11 in their opening series against the Yankees. Scored just over 2.5 runs per game. Gave up 5.5. Batting average 259. Average with runners in scoring position 195. They gave up 5 home runs. Jeez. Not great. They lost 5-4, 7-1, 5-3, and 4-3. So the Jays looking to take advantage and hoping that Vladdy Guerrero keeps his hot start to the season going. 308 in that 308 batting average, I should say, in that opening series against Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
4-for-13, 1 home run, 1 RBI, 5 walks, 3 strikeouts in 4 games this season. So that was good to see him. A little bit of patience, a little bit of relax to his game, because I think way too many times last season, first pitch, bouncer up the middle, Vladdy's out, and you go, just see one pitch.
Yeah.
See one. That's all I want you to do. I want you to see one pitch and try, and I get you want to hit it to the moon, and you can do that, and that's so cool. Just see one. Just let the guy pitch a little bit, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
And he's five. I have to give him credit. I didn't think he could do it at times, but he had five walks in that series. We'll see if he can keep it up tonight. Again, 6:10 first pitch on Monday night. You can watch the game on Sportsnet 1 or listen to it right here on your home of the Jays. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Let's take a look at the NHL schedule tonight, Shan. 8 games on this Monday.
Some good ones
to look at. Some games that maybe not as interesting. Starting off with the Avs and the Blue Jackets in Columbus at 5 o'clock tonight. At the Penguins and the Rangers from the Big Apple as well. Islanders, Flyers. That's actually a big game in the East. Philly desperately needs a win. Islanders trying to pretend that they're still in it. So you know they're going to be motivated. Big game for Detroit. They're in Tampa to take on the Lightning. Both teams need the points in that game. Remember Detroit for something coming up in just a little bit here, but they are in Tampa to take on the Lightning at 5 o'clock. Also at 5 o'clock, our big game on Sportsnet on this Monday, Panthers and Maple Leafs. A potential first-round preview, Shan. Auston Matthews hit the 60-goal mark over the weekend. Maple Leafs and the Buffalo Sabres got a little testy as well at the end of their matchup. So the Leafs can perhaps show the Panthers some fight ahead of this potential matchup.
Do you think they want Florida?
No, I don't think they do.
You don't remember the "we want Florida"?
No, I do remember
that.
No,
that was, oh my.
I don't think they do.
No, I don't think so either.
I fully agree with Cause as we kicked off hour two. No one's saying it in Toronto, but he's right. The better path would be to fall down and go through the Metro.
Okay, question about these playoffs. Can you think of another year where there's been this many contenders spread amongst the East and the West? I feel like the first round every year is the top teams play the wild card teams, and it's essentially an 80% chance that the top team's going to win. And then you get to the second round, and it's a little different. You got some of the top teams playing each other. I feel like this year is different. It might be me.
No, it feels like there isn't those teams that have that massive gap on everybody else. Like, there's just a lot of good teams this year.
And you could benefit, like we talked about, or like Sammy said, they would rather play the Rangers or the Hurricanes than they would the Panthers or the Bruins. And it's the same thing for a couple other teams. Like, do you really want to play Vegas in the first round? And I'm not saying the teams are going to do this, but you could have a little bit of movement in the standings that's so important coming down the stretch. And, you know, maybe it comes down to, I either finish first or second in the division because of my last game of the season. Maybe you sit a bunch of guys because there's a certain outcome. I think you might see a little bit of that this year because of how talented it is top to bottom.
In the West, Oilers are in St. Louis getting set to take on the Blues. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop tonight. Same puck drop time as it is in Winnipeg. Jets need to get things back on the rails. They're welcoming in the LA Kings, who the Flames just saw in here on Saturday.
Who are totally on the rails right now, too.
Yeah, we need to figure that one out. And then your late matchup tonight, 8:30 puck drop in San Jose. It's the Battle of the Sea Creatures, the Seattle Kraken and the San Jose Sharks.
Are we calling it that?
That's what I'm calling it.
I kind of like it.
It might be better when those teams are actually good.
What about the Battle of the Pacific Ocean?
The Canucks would be there, too.
Well, they're also a sea creature.
Yeah, but...
Oh, I guess, yeah.
Right? You have to put all those animals in the same water, Shan.
You're right.
What would win between a Kraken, a Canuck, and a shark in a sea battle?
I think a Kraken. I mean, the Kraken size varies.
It's fair.
I've seen the animated videos of a Kraken that's like 13 times the size of a house, you know?
Or if it was like that movie... Release the Kraken. That was a big Kraken.
I didn't see that.
I think that's my fault, really, for asking you to follow.
But I guess
movie
we
reference.
Could give a Canuck a chance, right? Like
maybe. Why not?
That's an orca.
Yeah, it's a big sea creature. It might have a chance.
960-960. Your thoughts?
Yeah. Yeah. Wrapping things up on this Monday edition of the show. Quick thank you to both of our guests today, Harna Ryan Singh and Sam Cosentino. Great work by my producers, Cam and Shan. Thanks for everything today. Thank you for texting in or listening at 960-960. Always appreciate joining in on the text line with the listeners. Reminder, if you missed any of our shows live, you can check us out on the podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. The shows go up moments after every hour, finishes here on Sportsnet 960. Jays and Astros tonight on your radio at 6:10 first pitch. We've also got the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Florida Panthers in action across the Sportsnet television network. Real Kipper and Bourne coming up. Flames talk with Steinberg getting you set to the getting set for the matchup, coming up when they are taking on the Ducks on Tuesday. So they'll get you set for that and some reaction to Saturday's game against the LA Kings. Have yourself a great afternoon. We'll be back on a Tuesday, Flames game day, getting you set for the Flames and the Ducks right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.